Amen. They say that in teaching, part of the learning process is review. We're going to have a bit of review tonight of some of the offerings that we've been studying the past few weeks, as we have a target of looking at the thank offering, which is one version of the peace offering. But to open this up, would you go please to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign. One of the problems that he inherited and when he became king was the fact that the temple was closed. Look in verse 3. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Even the doors were broken and needed to be repaired. But the doors had been closed. Imagine that. And he brought the priests and Levites and gathered them together in the east street. Verse 6, the reason that the temple had been closed, for our fathers have trespassed. Verse 7, also they have shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. But he opened the door. And it says in verse 27 of chapter 29, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. Having cleaned up the temple, re-sanctified it, he offers the burnt offering. In verse 28, all the congregation worshiped. And then in verse 31, it says this. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. A church whose door is open is a thankful church. Look over in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 20. In the letter to the church of the Laodiceans, he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, what's the problem? The door's closed. Wow. And this was not a thankful church. In fact, they didn't need anything. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. It is the door of a church that has turned from recognition that all we are and have is because God took the plight of sinful man into the grasp of his own hand and raised us up from a horrible pit. For this church, the church of Laodicea, the light is on the outside and the inside is dark, just like the temple was when Hezekiah became king. It's a church with a closed door that is content within itself, feeding itself upon its own grand accomplishment. but dead churches must open their doors and return to the worship of God. And the beginning of that worship, first the burnt offering, recognizing that Jesus gave his all for us, and then the thank offering, to be thankful. With that, let's go back to Leviticus chapter 1, and we will go very quickly through these chapters and note how the offerings in the tabernacle were a picture of Christ. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that the sacrifice for the burnt offering was a male without blemish of the herd. This was a fully adult animal, indicating strength and without blemish, purity. Christ, of course, was without sin, and he was as strong as could be, strong enough to endure the cross and bear all of our sins. In verse 3, it says, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. The one who brought the offering brought it voluntarily, even as Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but thine be done. And he was our substitute. Verse 4, it shall be accepted for him. As he lays the one who offers a sacrifice lays his hands upon the head of the animal then becomes the substitute, just as Jesus was our substitute. It says in verse 5, he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. Before the Lord, key words there. Jesus died for us before God the Father, and then was compelled to say unto the Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Obviously, that was part of the process, but before the Lord, God the Father separated himself momentarily from God the Son, the sacrifice that Jesus was offering was before God the Father. It says he gave his blood for us. So in verse 5, the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar. As we were bought with a price, and the price of redemption was the blood of Jesus Christ. And at the end of verse 9, it says that the burnt offering was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Just as Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. In chapter 2 is the meat offering. The meat offering consisted of fine flour. How do you get fine flour? Well, it has to be crushed, ground, and sifted. And they tell me that this process of sifting went 13 times, producing fine flour and then baking it into bread. Well, Jesus was processed by trial and persecution and torture. This was unleavened bread as it was presented in the meat offering, just as Jesus was pure and untouched by sin. The meat offering was also a sweet savor unto the Lord, Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 2. And in Christ we are all priests and partakers of him. In verse 3, the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. And verse 10, that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron and his sons. The priests were able to partake of this meat offering, even as we are able to partake of Christ. In chapter 4, we looked at the sin offering, and in chapter 4, in verse 4, this was also before the Lord. In fact, verse 4 in chapter 4 tells us that he was presented before the Lord twice. It states it twice, not that he was presented before the Lord twice. It states it twice in that verse, for emphasis' sake. In verse 3, it was a sin offering, even as Jesus was made to be sin for us. And in verse 4, this is an interesting aspect of this, and I'll give a little explanation. It says in verse 4, he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle, the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. Now, while it is true that no one took Jesus' life from him, he gave it voluntarily. As you hold your place here, would you look at Acts chapter 3, verses 14 and 15? Acts chapter 3, verse 14. In Peter's sermon, Peter says this. Verse 14 and 15. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life. Now we know, Jesus said, nobody takes my life from me. I have the power to give it. I have power to take it back again. And he gave up the ghost. Nobody took his life from him. And yet there is a sense in which he was killed as the Passover sacrifice because of the will of the people. And this is pictured in the sin offering. In Leviticus chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, once again we have the blood as a part of the sacrifice. In verse 7, the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And remember, in this particular offering, the remains of which were not burnt on the altar were carried outside of the camp and burned. Verse 12, even the whole bullock shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, illustrating how Jesus would be crucified outside of Jerusalem. And we have in the sin offering Jesus dying for all mankind. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 3 of chapter 4, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, verse 13, if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance. Verse 22, when a ruler hath sinned. Verse 27, and if any one of the common people sin through ignorance. What does that cover? Covers everybody. The trespass offering only differs from the sin offering in this sense, that specific sins were identified in the trespass offering, whereas the specific sins were not identified in the sin offering. And sometimes the trespass offering was called a sin offering because, after all, trespasses are sins. And when you're offering a trespass offering for sins, what is it? Sin offering. There were numerous specific sins identified in Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, and verse 16, the failure to testify under oath, touching something unclean, even by accident, carelessly promising to do something and forgetting about it, eating something by mistake that was intended for the priests, intentional lying, dishonesty, deception, many sins. And Christ died for our sins. If you notice in the graphics, the sin offering picture Christ as dying for the sin of mankind, and the trespass offering pictured Christ being offered for the sins of mankind. Which brings us to Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11. The peace offering can be offered either as a vow or as a voluntary offering, or as it is specifically identified here, as a thank offering. So we're still talking about the peace offering, but it's offered in a particular way with a particular motive to say thank you to God. So in verse 11, it says, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord, if he offer it for a thanksgiving offering." You didn't have to offer the peace offering as a thanksgiving offering. This was a specific motive for offering the peace offering. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with a sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried, which is a description of the meat offering. So you're going to offer an animal for a thank offering, but you include the meat offering. And you can look in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, and you find that description of the meat offering, those kinds of ways in which the fine flour was presented to the Lord. Interestingly, though, in the thank offering, both leavened and unleavened bread was included. Verse 12 of chapter 7. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried, besides the cakes he shall offer for his offering, leavened bread with a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I believe a picture of putting the sinner with the sinless Savior. Here's the connection. And why am I thankful? Because the sinless Savior saved me, a sinner. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 16 makes this statement. All the fat is the Lord's. Fat was never to be eaten. Here in chapter 7, look in verses 22 and 24. Verse 22 in chapter 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat of ox or of sheep or of goat." Those are the three types of animals, by the way, typically offered in sacrifices. "And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it." Other uses. Interesting. According to the rabbis, fat could be used in medicine that was applied topically, not internally. So like a salve or an ointment or something like that that you would apply on the outside for some kind of sore or something, but never consumed internally. It also could be used in making of candles, or it could be used in lubricating things. But it could not be consumed. Verse 25. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Now, why is that? Why is the fat so special to God? Well, I was curious about fat in the body. It's actually a good thing. You need a little bit of fat to be healthy. Every cell of the body is encased in a membrane consisting of fatty elements, which controls what goes into the cell and what comes out of it. If you don't have the proper amount of fat, you can have too much, but you could also have too little. If you don't have the proper amount of fat, cells will not function properly. Fat carries vitamins A, D, K, and E throughout the body. How about that? Fat plays a role in blood clotting, wound healing, and controlling inflammation. I didn't know all of this. It's pretty amazing stuff. With numerous other functions, fat is crucial to the health of the body and is probably why God considers it so important as to be reserved for him. I didn't actually write that statement. How about that? So all the fat belongs to the Lord. Neither was the blood to be consumed. Verse 26. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever your soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off. Now, I know this is part of the law, but does that apply to us at all today? Would you go to Acts chapter 15? Because I know some people like to eat almost raw meat. In Acts chapter 15, there was a controversy considered by a council in the city of Jerusalem by the apostles and elders, and the controversy was, do you have to obey the law in order to become a Christian? In other words, if you're a Gentile, do you have to become a Jew first before you can become a Christian? Well, they came to the conclusion that no, you do not have to obey the law, become a Jew before you can become a Christian. However, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, there were certain things that they felt they needed to instruct the church and both Jewish and Gentile believers concerning. And so they wrote a letter, and that letter begins in verse 23. And I want to pick up in the end of the letter in verse 28, where it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Now, if something seems good to the Holy Ghost, is that something we ought to pay attention to? I'd say so. So it wasn't just the opinion of the apostles and elders. This was something that came from the Holy Spirit. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Necessary things. what's a necessary thing? Is it something that's necessary? I think. And there were four of them in verse 29. Number one, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols. Number two, and from blood. Number three, from things strangled. And number four, from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. We're not going to take the time now, but I could take you to before the law and show you that every one of these was a principle that God had given to mankind before the law was ever instituted. And therefore, simply because it's part of the law doesn't mean it doesn't apply to us. These are divine principles. And if he says, even for us as Christians, don't eat blood, I think he has a reason for it. And whether we understand the reason or not, you might not have to order your steak well done if you don't like it crisp, like I do. You shouldn't order it rare. Sorry, it's in the Bible. Back to Leviticus chapter 7. In verse 31, part of the animal was given to the priest to be eaten. And that's in verse 32. And the rest was to be eaten in verse 15, chapter 7, verse 15, by the person who offered the sacrifice. What are we to learn from the thank offering? And why did I bother to review all of the other offerings? Well, the offering is given to God. The thank offering is given to God. God in turn then gives a portion to the one who offered the gift so that he may partake of it. Just as Christ was offered for us, and then in turn, we are allowed to partake of Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, which a true believer would do. In other words, the evidence that you're a true believer is that you don't say you believe and last a few weeks and then you're back to your worldliness again. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering. If we're partakers of Christ's, then what? We also partake of his suffering. In other words, we will be attacked, persecuted, criticized, all of those kinds of things because of our identification with Jesus Christ. It's part of being part of him. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Wow. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit dwell in you. Now, for all of this, don't you think it would be reasonable for us to be thankful? When we sing the hymns, how do you sing? When we pray, what do? During the sermon, what's your activity? When you serve, is it out of a grateful heart or obligation? We ought to be doing all of these things with a heart of thanksgiving. Christ is our burnt offering, having given his all for us. Christ is our meat offering, having given himself in real humanity on our behalf. Christ is our sin offering, sacrificing himself for the fact that we are sinners. And Christ is our trespass offering, sacrificing himself for all our sins. As a result, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what it means to have peace with God? I suppose you've listened to the news enough to know that there are some very untoward protests, so-called, taking place on university campuses around the country, in which Jewish folks are becoming very uncomfortable. Their lives feel threatened. And why wouldn't they? People are calling for the Jews to be killed. It's an uncomfortable feeling to feel that you are under threat. Well, unsaved people need to understand. God has not only threatened them, they are under his condemnation. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, all that is taken away, and Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to have peace with God. We're perfectly comfortable because there are no longer any consequences for our sin. And so, we ought to be thankful. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 11 through 15 says this, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, connecting the Old Testament sacrifices now to the sacrifice of Christ, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And then it says this, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We ought to be so thankful that we've been redeemed from sin that every moment of our lives, thanksgiving is on the tip of our tongues. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And everything I do in my Christian life, may it be an act of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything, life and eternal life. The ability to walk in this world, to live and move and have our being, to breathe the air, and to enjoy the beauty of creation. But more than that, thank you for the peace we have with you because of all that Jesus did for us. Thank you for the marvelous picture of every aspect of his giving himself for us in the offerings of the Old Testament. Surely there were those who understood. Well, today, give us understanding so that we would have thankful hearts all the time. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.